It is good to see each one of you here. I know we have a lot of our people that are at in Missouri right now, probably suffering a whole lot of humidity. But it's good to see each one of you here and to come to hear the word of the Lord as it pertains to those things in which the Lord has impressed upon Hubert's heart and mind to give to us this day. So I hope and pray that you've come prepared to receive those words in gladness. I'll give to you now our brother Hubert.
Thank you, Gordon. Where's Michelle? I want you to take notice, Michelle. Okay. I had a lot of thoughts as I visited with the Lord about speaking this morning. And what I'm going to bring, I know it's not new to you, but it's very, very important to our soul's welfare. And it's the only way that we can find the right way for us to go. There's no other way. And so as I speak to you this morning, I want you to think upon what I have to say, not because I'm the one that's saying it, because of the scriptures that I'm going to read, because they're the ones that's going to judge us. And they're the ones that's going to have to do with whether he says yea or nay to us as the time comes, as we stand before the judgment bar of Christ. I'm grateful for that that song that we just sang, "That Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love." Jay sort of brought that out in the Sunday school class this morning, how true it is. You know, you can be around and have a lot of turmoil and trials and tribulations, but with Christ and his love, you can still have a peace in your heart. And you can have a peace when everything comes unglued because of the Lord. And how true that is. That's a peace that comes through his Spirit. And you can even have that peace when you lose a loved one as a comforting spirit. And how wonderful it is that our Lord sees our needs and recognizes our needs and gives us that peace and that serenity that comes through his Spirit and by his Spirit. I want to start with a thing on this here this morning. I want to confess to you that I'm not an artist. I can draw flies, but that's about it. But I'm not an artist, and I'm going to do the best I can here. That's a straight line, I think. At least if you ask me, I'll tell you it is. Now, I'm going to tell you what that is so you don't have to guess. That's supposed to be a key. And I'm going to put a quotation in there from the scriptures, from Malachi. And this key is really important to you and I and to the world. Because if we don't hold that key when we study and we seek and we pray, we don't get the things that is necessary for us, because it's the only way that we can come to the gospel of Christ and recognize the path that the Lord has walked. There's no other way. And this key I'm going to put in there from Malachi. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not. It's important that we realize that our Lord can't change. If He changes, there's nobody that can teach with any authority or direct anything with any authority, because how do you know that it didn't change yesterday? That's been the problem throughout the nations of the world and throughout the life of supposedly Christianity throughout all the generations of time. They thought that they knew more about the things than the Lord did, and so they change Him. They change His gospel. They change His teachings. They change all these things that come along and that we hear in the, through the Christian churches today. They change Him. They change Him so that we don't know, you know, half the time what's going on and one thing and another. And I'm going to read that in the Malachi, the third chapter and the sixth verse. And there in Malachi in the third chapter, he says this, and it's important that we understand that he tells you, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. You know, it's important that we realize that you and I can study the scriptures and know that the things that he taught Peter and James and John and Bartholomew and the ones that he taught Mormon and Nephi, Lehi, and those through the period of time, we are under the exact same gospel. He hasn't changed. If he changes, what could you do? One person would come along and say he changed this much. Another person come along and say, no, he changed that much. And another one come along and say, no, he changed this much. How would you know what to do? If I came in here and I had some tapes and I passed out tape to you and I say to Brian, measure the distance there in that window right there, will you? And so he measured it and he says, well, it's about 8 inches. So I asked Dwayne, okay, you measure it, but his tape has been cut down. And so he looked at it and said, well, hey, I only get 4 inches. Something wouldn't fit, would it? And so it's important for us to realize that the gospel of Christ is the same and will be tomorrow, henceforth, and forever. Because His desire is to save our soul. That's the purpose of it. That was the purpose of the Son coming, to save us. That was the purpose of Him walking among the children of men and teaching them and directing their paths to eternal life. That was the purpose of it. And the purpose of Him taking the suffering and hanging on the cross, that He gave His life that you and I might have life. That was the purpose of it. It wasn't so man could come along or woman come along with the man's wisdom and women's wisdom or the wisdom of the flesh and decide that the Lord forgot something or He should add to it or He should this or He should that. No, that's not so. That's not so. You can't add to and you can't delete from the heavenly message that He caused to be written to edify us to eternal life. You can't do it. We can't do it. It can't be added to, and it can't be deleted from. And I agree to Tim to a certain extent. You know, you have to look out about how you bring things out and one thing and another, but you know we also have to bring out the truth. We can't back off from the truth. It's like the scripture says, it's the truth that shall make you free. Without the truth, you aren't free. You're wandering. You're not understanding and you're not recognizing the light that our brother read this morning. We're falling. We're staggering around in the darkness. We still have we still have the scales in our eyes. Our ears are still plugged. We're not properly hearing the voice of the Lord in the direction that he would direct us, because he's not going to direct us in a forgotten path. He came to lay the path and set the way that we're to go. He came to do that so that we would know the way to go to eternal life and to have that peace that we sang about. And to know that there's a lot of chaotic things in this whole world today. But in the Lord, you can have a peace in your heart. You can have a peace. For one thing, it's because of the scriptures, because he told us that we're going to see the very things that we're seeing as you look at the news, as you read the news, as you see those things. He says, you know, those are going to happen. When they say, well, Lord, what's going to look like in the last days? Well, we're living there. We're going to see those things. And we can have a peace because we know the fulfillment of those holy scriptures and that prophecy will indeed be fulfilled. And we can trust. We can put our hope and our trust in those things that are written. And how important that is, that we apply those things to our life. And you know, I want to go over to Hebrews, and I want to go into the 13th chapter of Hebrews, and I imagine that there's a lot of you here already know what I'm going to read. But it's really important, and I want you to go there if you're following me along, and I want to read there at, I'm going to start in the 7th verse in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. He said, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation. He's saying, remember the apostles, remember those that Christ had set in order to teach these things when he was taken home, that we were to remember those things. That we were to know that they were trying to prepare us for the things that we say that we want that kingdom. Let's read the 8th verse. He says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. What does that mean to you and I? It means that the gospel that he taught, the gospel that the apostles taught, the gospel that he caused to be written through the inspiration and the power of God, are going to affect you and I. Oh, we might say they're not going to affect us today. We're going to do as we please, but they're going to affect us when we stand before the judgment bar of Christ, because these books are going to be opened. And we're going to be judged out of those things that's been written in the books. Which means that he has a way. It means that he has a law. It means he has the do's and the don'ts, that things that we have to apply to our life. And I want to read the 9th verse. He says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. That's why he doesn't change. Is the world full of dire and strange doctrines? Do we hear it? Do we see it? Do we recognize it in the world today? No, don't be baptized. You know, you don't have to do that. What are you talking about? You know, just believe and you're saved. And once saved, always saved. And you know, he'll just do whatever you want to do. The Book of Mormon says, you know, and oh, he'll whip you a little bit, but everything will be all right. And you know, we have to know that he says he doesn't change. Because the world has changed. We talked about a little bit of that in the Sunday school class this morning about the things that were deleted from the Bible and the different things where the world decides that they need to help the Lord out so much. And so, you know, even that he didn't use proper English. Or he didn't this or he didn't that. And so what the world does is they take a hacksaw and they cut off the end of that key that's so important to us to hold. And when they cut off the end of that key, it says, I am the Lord and I change. That's what the world does. Or they say, you know, he forgot something, so we better add to it over here, you know, like baptism for the dead and sealed marriages and Adam God and all the things, excuse me, all the things are added and everything else. You know, this is something that we have to understand, that you can't add to the gospel of Christ and you can't delete from it. And this is what the world does. They take it and they cut the end of that key off. But we have to hold that key if we want to know the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ. We have to hold that key if we want that peace. We have to hold that key. We have to use those things. It's essential. We have to do that. If we don't, then it's not valid to us. When we're right here at Hebrews, let's go here to James. And let's start in the 16th verse of the first chapter of James. And he tells us this. He says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Neither shadow of turning. Can you see the shadow on there? Can you see it? Somebody, can you see it, honey? Okay. What happens when I move my hand? It moves. If I move my hand 1/1,000,000th of an inch, it's going to cast a difference in that shadow. I want you to take notice. He says there's not even a shadow of turning. How specific and direct is that of the way to eternal life? How important that is that we know that there's not even a shadow of turning. I'd like to go over to 1 Peter, the first chapter of 1 Peter, and I want to go, I'm going to go to the 24th and the 25th verses. He says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you, that the word of the Lord shall stand forever." And he says, "This is the word which by the gospel will be preached unto you." You know, if you were to go over to the 40th chapter of Isaiah, he tells you the same thing. He tells you that the word of the Lord shall stand forever. How important is that? How important for us, or how it is that important for us to really believe and to understand and to know? I'd like to have you turn over to page 710 in your Book of Mormon. There on page 710, I want to start, that's the fourth chapter of Mormon, in the Book of Mormon. And I'm going to start there in the, I'll start in the 67th verse. It says, "Behold, I say unto you, he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the scriptures. If so, he does not understand them." Do you think it's possible to read the scriptures and not understand them? Yeah. Unless we read them and seek that Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of truth, that says that the Lord says in the 14th chapter of St. John, "He will teach you all things whatsoever I have commanded you." A promise. A promise. But how many times have you read something and you think about it and think about it and read it and think about it, and then you might think, well, that means so and so, and you think about it, and then all of a sudden, some evening or some morning, when you're praying about things and you read it, and all of a sudden, boom, boy, the understanding just jumps out at you. And you say, "My goodness, why didn't I see that before?" Because the Holy Spirit bears that witness of the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ. It's the one that tells you and directs you. It's the one that brings us to the knowledge of the truth, so that we recognize the path wherein Christ had trod. That's what it's about. And it's not about the spirit of Hugh Yates or anybody else. It's that the Spirit of Christ, our Lord, the Son of God, that verifies those things. And that Holy Ghost teaches us whatsoever he has heard, whatever Christ tells him, he teaches us. And so, yeah, we can read those things and not understand them. Now, let's go a little further here. 68, for do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, there's not even a shadow of turning. Wow. That sounds almost like James. James says, neither shadow of variance. And here in the Book of Mormon, he says, neither shadow of turning. That he doesn't turn from the things in which he taught. He hasn't turned from the gospel of Christ to the way of salvation. He hasn't altered and changed it and say, well, you know, this is a different period of time. You know, my golly, you're not in a chariot now. You're flying in a jet airplane. So I'm going to have to change it and tell you, well, you know, murder isn't murder anymore, or adultery isn't adultery anymore, or stealing isn't stealing anymore, or lying isn't lying anymore, or what are we doing? No, it doesn't make any difference what form of travel we got. It doesn't make any difference that we got lights and we're not trying to burn a candle. It doesn't make any difference to those things whatsoever. But the law of Christ ever remains the same for you and I. So that you and I can find him and know him. That's why he died for us. That's why he lived for us. So that we could find him and know the way and not have to guess. Well, I wonder, did he really turn off that road over there? Did he go back? Did he take off to the left there? Did he turn loose to that rod of iron? And did he go on over and fall into that river? You know, it's important that we realize that he is the same today. And the message of eternal life, will be preached from the housetops. And it will be the same message that they heard when the Lord talked to them when they were on the mount. It'll be the same message of life. It won't be altered and changed and added to and deleted from, but it will be the same message of eternal life for you and I. That's what it'll be. And how important it is that we recognize that. And it's easy when we come along, you know, and we start hearing somebody say this or say that or one thing and another, if it's opposite of what you've read in the Holy Scripture, you immediately know it's not true. Did anybody ever tell you something sometime and you listen to what they had to say and you think about that, you know, and maybe not at that very moment, you can't think of a Scripture that would challenge it in Christ. But when they say that about your Lord, you immediately know that's not the Lord that you've worshipped. That's not him. Don't even sound like him. Yeah. Because we have a right to be able to discern, to hear, to understand. We have a right to those gifts. We have a right to know those things. What good would it be if he taught us those things, but he didn't have them written, like he's preserved them in two books. If he didn't have them written, what good would it be if it come along and say, oh, well, we don't want to tell them that. No, 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 no. Do we really think that sometimes that when he died on the cross, that he allowed them to take him and to crucify him, and he forgot to teach us something? Do you ever think that he forgot to teach us something that was essential to our soul's welfare? No. They couldn't take him until he had finished his work. They couldn't take him until he had taught and brought forth those things that he says, these things which I teach are not of me, but the Father which sent me. That he saw to it. He saw to it. That they were brought forth into the world. He saw to it that there was written record concerning those things so that you and I would know the path and recognize the footprints of our Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Sixty-ninth verse. And now if ye have imagined up unto yourself a God, which doth vary, and in him there is a shadow of changing, then ye have imagined up yourself a God which is not a God of miracles. 82nd verse. But behold, I say unto you, he changeth not. If so, he would cease to be God. And he ceaseth not to be God and is a God of miracles. That he doesn't cease to be God. He's a God of miracles. He is that same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the exact same one. While we're in the Book of Mormon, let's go over into page 26. Page 26, that's the third chapter of the first book of Nephi. And I want to read the 27th through the 32nd verse. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him. Who does that leave out? That the way is prepared for all men? Didn't he say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me? And when he says all men, he's talking about you, sister. As well. He's talking about all of the whole human family of Adam. That's who he's talking about. He's talking about the whole human family of Adam. He's not just talking about the men that's sitting in this room. He's talking about every precious soul that's sitting in this room this morning. And those out and throughout the world. For he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto him by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well as in the times, as well in this time as in the times of old, and as well in times of old as in times to come. We're living in times to come. When this was written, but he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we seek him, the Holy Ghost will bear witness. The Holy Ghost will bear witness. And we will recognize that peace that comes through the inspiration and the power of that gentle spirit that caresses the hearts of the children of men when they seek and ask. That he would direct and strengthen them that they might be able to overcome and endure to the end. And that's important in our life, to overcome and to endure to the end. We need not fool ourselves that, well, we can just go ahead and later on I'll think about it. You know, there's a lot of people think about later on, but they might not live to be later on. There's not a person within the sound of my voice, including myself today, that are sure that we're going to be here tomorrow. Are you sure? No. This is the time of our probation. This is our time to set our life right. This is the time, because he tells us after that there's darkness. So it's important that we do those things. Wherefore, the course, of the Lord is one eternal round. That the course of the Lord is one eternal round. Now I want to read one more scripture, and it's over on page 325 in your Book of Mormon. And that's in Alma, the fifth chapter, and I want to read the 34th and the 35th verses. He says, yea, I perceive that ye are making his path straight. I perceive that ye hath been made known unto you by the testimony of his word, that he cannot walk in crooked paths. You know, the testimony of his word, of the Holy Scriptures, tells us that the Lord cannot walk in crooked paths. His path was straight. And you know, it's important that we realize that. It's important that his path is straight. And that's what he tells us, isn't it, in the Scriptures. He tells us, broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the way into life. And few there be that find it. Do we want to be one of the few? Or do we want to just cast our lots out in the world and follow the world and do as the world does and stay in the broad way that leads to destruction? What's our choice? Yea, I perceive that ye are making his path straight. I perceive that it hath been made known unto you by the testimony of his word. The testimony of his word. I'm reading from it. Okay? That he cannot walk in crooked paths. Neither doth he vary from that which he hath said. Wow. You mean if he taught baptism, if he taught love, if he taught compassion, if he taught mercy, you know, the things that he taught, he doesn't vary from that. He hasn't changed. Neither hath a shadow of turning from the right to the left, or from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore, his course is one eternal round. How important that is, that we realize that his course is one eternal round. That's important. Doesn't change. He's not going from wrong to right or right from wrong, because he's right to begin with. He's following those things. And so, you know, as we go to the Scriptures, that's the way we know the way that we're to travel and the way that we're to be. That's the way that we realize that we have to follow him. I want to turn over to the 10th chapter of St. John. And I know that there's a lot of you here that are aware of the 10th chapter of St. John, because there's some beautiful information there. But I'm not going to read where he says other sheep he have is not of this fold. I want to go over to where he tells us and I'm going to read the 10th verse. He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." He come that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. And you know, I looked up the word abundantly, and it says very plentiful. He comes that we would have life, very plentiful. It says more than sufficient, ample, well supplied, that he come that we might have life more abundantly. He come that we might have his Spirit to be with us, the Spirit that brings that peace, the Spirit that directs us. That's what he come for. That's what he come for. And you know, we have to think for a minute there, that through the Old Testament that we're studying sometimes through with Adam and one thing and another, that the sacrifice that they sacrificed for the remission of sin, remember, they were without blemish. They couldn't be sick. They couldn't be crippled. They couldn't have a bad time. Remember that? Well, do we remember that our Lord, when he was put on the cross, that he was without blemish? He was pure and whole. You know, that's something that we need to think about sometimes. Because that's the way it was. He made for you and I a way and opened up the path to eternal life with him and his Father. And he did so without blemish. was whole and pure. And you know, it's important that we realize that you know, he has said to us, you know, to come, and you know, he wants us to come, and he says to follow me, and you know how important that is, that we go and we follow him. I want to turn over to the second chapter of Timothy. In the third chapter, in the second Timothy, excuse me, in the third chapter, I want to start there in the 16th verse. He says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Wow. That's something else. That a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, if all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, who has a right to cut some of it out? Or who has a right to add to it? No one. If it come, you know, we don't need to. Isn't that what Peter said about prophecy? Peter tells us that prophecy doesn't come by the will of man, but when holy men were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost, that it was God that was doing the talking. It was God that was doing the directing. It was God that's saying, I have a way for you. It was God that says, my son prepared a way for you. And he has, and that way is before us today. That way is before us today if we will apply it to our life. And how neat that is, that if we would do that and apply it to our life, because through the gospel and through the path and plan of salvation, there is the way to eternal life. It leads us that way. You know, as we travel across the country, and several of us do that quite often, and go into the field or wherever we go, or to visit relatives or whatever the case may be, while we grab a map and we take a map and we look, and we're going to go out this highway and down that highway, and then when we get here, we'll turn over this highway, and that map directs us to the people that we want to go see. And you know, they even have a little old electronic thing now, GPS or whatever they call it, and it'll direct you to where you're going to. Sometimes Louise and I found when we got over in Washington, it directed us in the wrong place. We got down in a bad place and everything, but we finally got out. But there's a map, there's a way that's directed to reach the position and the place that we want to go, whether it's a friend or whether it's a family or whoever it is. Well, here's a map that was perfected by God the Father through his Son. This is the map that directs our souls to the place called heaven. Place that we desire to go, we say. Here's the map, right here. Have we studied it? Do we recognize the places that he has there that says this is the way? Do we recognize that? Is Christ our navigator? Is he navigating our life into the position to where we can go live with him and his Father? Are we allowing him, or are we arguing with him about it? Are we saying, no, we don't need that. No, no, I can, just a little thing, that's just this or that. Are we allowing him to really navigate our heart and our mind to eternal life, or are we thinking that we know better than he does? You know, that happens in our life sometimes. We make up our mind, well, you know, I know he don't want me to do that, but, you know, I'll just go ahead anyway. He has to be our navigator. If he's not navigating our travel, we're in trouble. If he's not navigating our travel, I'll just tell you right now, we don't have the peace. The scriptures tells us that sin was never happiness. And that's the truth. Sin was never happiness. It's nothing but a bunch of heartache. And it comes home to bite you. Whatever we do. You know, the gospel of Christ is our map that takes us in the position where we need to go. And it's important that we realize that. It's important that we realize that it takes us to the position that we can walk and know that we're free. And he tells us that that it's the gospel, it's the truth that shall make us free. And isn't that what we want? We want the truth, isn't it? But you know, to want the truth and to know the truth isn't sufficient unless we apply it to our life. What good is it? You know, you can tell somebody, don't reach down there because that rattlesnake's going to bite you, and they just look at you and say, yeah, I know, and you reach down there and get bit. It's not sufficient just to know the truth. But that gospel was made to apply to our life, to live it. And the scriptures tells us that, that it's something to be lived. It's something to apply to our life. It's something that's important. And if we don't live it, the only one we're fooling is ourselves. Because we're responsible for us. You're responsible for your thoughts, for your action. I'm not responsible for your action, and you're not responsible for mine. I can pray for you, and you can pray for me. But the decision is yours, and that's what the Lord says, that he's given us the right to choose. Whether it be right or whether it be wrong, we have, he has given us the right to choose. I'm going to read in St. John, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read the 26th verse. It says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Boy, what a beautiful promise. If we serve him, him will you, that individual, me or whoever it is, will the Father honor. Boy, that would be one honor that a person could really use and need and put to use in their life, that they would be indeed honored, that they'd have that. I want to go over to page 161 in the Book of Mormon. That's the 13th chapter of the second book of Nephi. And you're aware of what he's telling there. He's talking about baptism and that we were to follow him. And I want to read there in the 12th verse. He says, and he say unto the children of men, follow thou me. You know, I'd like to ask you a question. And I'm asking me the same thing. Can I follow the Lord by turning loose of the rod of iron, the word of God, and stomp all over the country and down and through here and over there and one plane? Will I be following the Lord, Steve? Can't do it, can you? You have to hold fast to that rod of iron, the word of God. You have to hold fast to the truth that he has given us. And there's no other way. There's no other way. And you know, it's important that we realize that it's not enough to know, but we have to get up and we have to follow the Lord and we have to recognize that it's important to follow the Lord. I'm going to read in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. There in Matthew, in the 22nd chapter, I want to read the 36th through the 39th. Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And you know, they were asking him, you know, what is that? You know, what is this great commandment? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is unto it, is that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, that's quite a commandment. And so oftentimes we don't keep it. You know, it's we think about different things. You know, you know who you can hurt the easiest? The one you love. You know, if I come along and I said to Mark there, you know, I don't care what you do, you know, you're not doing anything. He'd just go there and say, well, you know, that's him, you know. But if he loves me, what I have to say hurts him, or what they have to say to you. You can hurt the ones that love you the easiest and the hardest. And you know, sometimes I feel that when I read the scriptures that the Lord was wept over Jerusalem, sometimes I feel like he weeps over me and over our congregation and people because he loves us. We're his children. And he cares for what you do, and he cares for what I do, because he came and gave his life that you and I could have life and have the opportunity to go live with him. He cares. And you know, sometimes we might not speak out audibly and use his name in vain, but our action speaks out to him. Our action tells him what we think. Our action tells him whether we have chosen to follow him or we'll just, well, we will if we feel like it, you know. We'll give him not 100%, but we'll give him 75%. That's good enough. It really isn't. It really isn't. And I'm going to say again, you know, my dad used to say that we owe it to ourselves to do the best we can. I want you to think about that for a minute. We owe it to ourselves to do the best we can. And how true that is. It's important that you and I choose to follow the footsteps of the Lord. It's important that you and I hold that key that hasn't been altered and changed or added to or the end cut off, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, he tells us in Hebrew. The world is full of divers and strange doctrines. He says, be not carried about. How do you know? How do you get your measuring stick? You get it from the holy map that he's given us that plots our course to eternal life. That's where you get your measuring stick. It is your measuring stick to the rights and wrongs and to the yeses and the noes. It's the measuring stick. It's the one that says that we're to love. It's the one that says that we're to pray for charity in these last days. It's the one that tells us that charity is gentle and kind and well, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. First Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Now I want to start right there in the first verse. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, that's love, charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It don't boast. Okay? Not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own will. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So it's important that we apply that charity. In the Book of Mormon, he tells us that we should ask the Lord, we should pray constantly for charity in these last days, that you and I, where we have love one for another, and above all, love for God with all our might, mind, and strength. How important that is. Because, you know, when you love someone, you want to satisfy them. You want to do good. You want to do the things mostly that they would like to have you to do. And if we love God with all our might, mind, and strength, then we want to satisfy Him. We want to live the life that He would have us to live so He would be pleased with us. So that we could make Him happy. Do we love Him? How much do we love Him? Each one of us has to do that on our own. You have your own free agency. How much do you love Him? Do you love Him enough to try to show Him by your actions that you love Him? Do you love Him enough to be able to testify of Him, not only by word of mouth, but the way that you live your life? That He can see by the way you live your life that you love Him. That you love His Son. And that you've chosen to follow Him. You have chosen to do those things that He says is so essential for us to do. I'd like to go over to the 8th chapter of Mark. And I want you to listen real close to the 8th chapter of Mark because, you know, he's talking to all of us here. He's not excluding anyone, and, oh, maybe the little ones here today, but when they grow up, he's talking to them as well. There in the 8th chapter of Mark, I want to read the 34th verse. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do we deny ourselves of our human thoughts, of our human reactions? Have we taken up our cross to follow Him? If you went over to Luke, I'm not going to go there, but if you went over to Luke, he'd tell you that you take up your cross daily, not every month, not every other week or something like that, that you take up your cross daily and come and follow me. How important it is that we realize that He wants us to take up our cross daily and follow Him. Wow, that's quite a road, isn't it? That's quite a travel to follow the Lord. That's quite a way to go. And how important is it It's so important. It has to do with your life. It has to do with your life. Not the life of this old physical body, but the life of the spirit that dwells therein. The life of the hube that lives inside of this house. It has to do with that life. The one that lives forever. Not the one that's going to go to the dust of the earth. No. But the one that's going to live forever. That's the one he wants us to pick up. That's the one that he wants us to follow. That's the one that he wants to teach us and to rear us up, that our love for him would be so mighty that we wouldn't want to sin and break his heart, but that we would want to walk with him and recognize the peace and the harmony and the life more abundantly that comes from our Lord. How important that is. And I hope that each of us will do so, is my prayer. Thank you.